Hey there, this is Tom Stimson from First Presbyterian Church in Marion, Ohio, and you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Hey everybody, this is Jason Desert. Glad you guys are tuning in. I'm hanging out at Crossfire Ministries in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I'm hanging out with Melanie Hamill. And do you like it here?
Oh, yes.
It's Hamill, right? Sorry. Yes. I got that right, right?
You got it right, yes. Okay.
So you do like working here?
Yep. I've been here about 5 years. 2 years as a staff member and just about 3 years as a volunteer. So.
Okay, and what the heck is this place?
Crossfire Ministries was started in 1988 as a party alternative for teenagers, and it quickly turned into a kind of a lighthouse in the midst of, you know, the storm, you know, out in the world. And we reach those kids who are caught in the crossfire of daily life, whether that's drugs, sex, alcohol, gang-related violence, just, you know, petty crimes, violent crimes, all of those things. So we reach and serve those kids here.
All right. And you guys are located, you said, in an old Woolworths building. Is that right?
Yes. It used to be a little bit of a hole in the wall when we... But about 3 years ago, we did a major renovation, and we now have this beautiful facility and a great stage for hosting shows, and we do a lot of fun activities down here.
Yeah, so all you bands out there who are starving, you might want to check out this website that Melanie's about to tell you.
Yes, it's www.crossfire4u.com, and that's the number 4 and the letter U.com.
All right. Trying to be cool with that, but then you got to say that anyway, right?
It makes it complicated.
You know, we had an old website that did the same thing, and I'm like, we're getting rid of these numbers because it's just too confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to, and when I get my email, it's the same thing. I have to spell it out, otherwise people get confused.
So at Crossfire, I mean, I see pool tables over there. I see you got a basketball hoop over here, and they're bouncing it on this nice hardwood floor. I mean, so this is definitely a place that's safe for kids to come, right?
Yeah, actually, we have a lot of kids who have told us specifically this is the safest place they go all week, and that's kind of a scary thought when you think about the schools and their homes and all the other places that are designed to protect these kids, and yet they come to Crossfire and this is the safest place they feel.
So the point when you first started, well, you weren't here when this started out, but when they started out, it was more toward Christian kids, I'm assuming, is that right?
Yeah, it was designed as a party alternative, you know, to prevent a lot of those youth group kids from getting caught up in, you know, those negative behaviors, like going out and partying with peers and things like that. And it quickly turned into a ministry that serves kind of the downtrodden, you know, those kids that are often forgotten and put on the back burner, you know, and really are the ones who need it and need to understand love like you can only understand through Christ. So those are the kids we serve. I would say, I don't know for sure, but I would say about 90% of our kids are unchurched. So we're bringing them the gospel in a way that they've maybe never heard before. And that's important.
Well, and yeah, so you do that, but then you also have a church service, I heard, on Sundays. Is it right? Or something like that?
We do worship on Sunday nights once a month. We don't do a church service here, but we do worship for anyone who wants to come from the community. So we have college students that will come in for the worship. We'll have community members who come in for the worship. We have occasionally some of our kids that will come in for the worship. It's a really fun event when we do bring that in once a month. So,
well, and I saw too, it looks like you have quite an arsenal, if you will, of volunteers that are helping out, and they're all pumped up. If you wouldn't mind trying to like focus in on our listeners who are older, that how do you equip these people to actually serve?
We throw them off the deep end a little bit. Well, we always bring them in. We have an application process like most places, and we bring them in and we do an orientation with them where we talk about our expectations. We make sure that they're being fulfilled spiritually elsewhere, you know, attending church, doing Bible studies, those sorts of things, so that we know that they're in a place where they're equipped to serve these kids as best as possible, because we don't want our volunteers struggling with the same things that our kids are. And so we kind of field all of that through an informal interview process. And then we do trainings every once in a while for all of our volunteers. But really, it's one of those learning by doing kind of experiences where you come in, we kind of partner you with somebody who's been here maybe a little bit longer, and we throw you in, you know, off the deep end, like I said. And that's the way it's been done as long as I've been here. And it seems to work. I mean, it does. And I don't know. Maybe it's a God thing. I'm going to just chalk it up to being a God thing, because there's no real explanation for why we get the high quality of volunteers that we do, other than the fact that God's brought them here in the first place.
You know, if there was somebody that, you know, is listening to this and they're like, you know, I got this idea and I'd love to do this in my community, and that, what kind of advice would you give? And I know you weren't here from the inception of this, but what kind of advice would you give as somebody who is running this place? You know, not maybe, you know, whatever advice it might be. It might be to start it up. It might be this is something you don't want to do, or, you know, whatever.
I think that the best thing you can do right away is find out what's available already in the area, because you don't want to duplicate a ministry or a service that's already being provided. And so that's a good way to start. I don't know if there's one thing that you shouldn't do. I don't think you should have any expectations about what it should be, because other than the fact that you know it needs to be centered around Christ, don't go in with expectations, because God's going to lead you in all sorts of directions. And I mean, just in the 22 years that this place has been open, it's changed and evolved and morphed into different things. And our ministries have grown, we've developed new programs, and really you need to look at the needs of the kids. I mean, we, a couple years ago, developed a brand new program because we realized it was needed, and that was a teen moms group. We were being introduced to all these girls who were getting pregnant at, you know, as young as 14, and a lot of them hadn't been parented themselves, and so they didn't know how to be parents. And so we saw that need and we prayed about it, and we realized this was something we needed to address. And so we developed a program in order to serve these girls. And so I think that's the advice I would give. You got to find out what's needed in the community, what's needed with what these kids need, and then base a ministry off of that.
So what I'm hearing you say is it might be a good idea to pray and listen to God and then do that.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the best way to go about doing it, yeah.
You know, because there's so many people, and it's within ministry, it's wherever, they're looking for that silver bullet. And am I hearing you say that's not the answer?
I don't think there's a silver bullet. There's, other than Christ being the silver bullet, I mean, that's like the one sure thing in this whole deal, is we know that as long as we stay centered on Him, that God will provide the things that we need to keep this place going. And we just have to trust that that's what's going to happen.
And they can find information out about Crossfire Ministries where?
At our website, which is www.crossfire4u.com. And that is the number 4 and the letter U.
All right. And, you know, with being here, now you've been here, you said 5 years, is that right?
Just under 5 years, yeah.
And, you know, as far as things have changed, all that's going on, as far as for you yourself, as far as a person who's, again, in the workings of it, you know, if somebody's wanting to actually be like the program director, I'll call it, you know, if they're like, yeah, I've got some great ideas, you know, what would you want them to do? As the actual program director, meaning, okay, we're recording this in 2010. Like, if they have the same kind of issues, what are some things you would recommend?
Well, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, really assess the needs of what these kids need, and what they want to see. You know, there's a lot of times that we come in with our great ideas and our great, we're inspired, we believe, to put on certain kinds of programs, and they're total flops because we haven't properly taken the time to really find out whether that's something that, I mean, is...
Well, how do you assess that then?
Sometimes it is really about failing, is trying first and failing. I mean, in all honesty, sometimes that's how you have to figure it out. But we do a lot of trial periods, like this program that we have on Friday nights is called Search and Rescue, and we call it that for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons is because this is the place where we look and we search and we find these kids that might be appropriate for other programs. And we do a lot of trial and error stuff right here on Friday nights. We find out what's popular, what works, what kids are interested in, and then we kind of go from there.
Okay. All right. And now you've got, okay, you know what? I'm going to ask this too, because this place, just so you know, everybody, is not a dump. They definitely have nice stuff in here. The speaker system is great. How did you go about raising that money, or did somebody just plop a whole bunch of money into your lap?
Our entire sound system, which is about an $80,000 system, was donated completely to us. We didn't pay a cent for it, and God has provided us with everything you have here. I mean, God provided us with the money to do the renovation. God provided us with furniture. God provided us with flat panel TVs and with paintings, and just everything that you see in this place was something that was given to us through provision, you know, and that's awesome to see that work. I mean, when there's a need and you really just put your trust in the Lord, and it's amazing what will come out of that, and we've been faithful in that, and God has been faithful to us because of that.
Well, I know there's going to be people listening to this though going, yeah, but what kind of a paper did you give them, and what did it say, and all that kind of stuff, and are you meaning what did the paper say on it that got it so that they'd give you that sound system? That kind of stuff. People are, and I guarantee people are thinking that. And it sounds like to me you're just praying and letting God know the need, and then maybe by word of mouth you're just kind of saying, yeah, we're looking for this. I mean, what? Hey, help us out. Help our listeners out, because yeah, I get what you're saying, but some of our listeners aren't. Okay, I'm just.
And, you know, in all honesty, sometimes it is a little bit unbelievable. And that's not to say that prayer is the only thing we do. That's a huge part of what we do. But it's really important for people to know. Stop distracting me. Oh, I'll get that for you in just a minute. But anyway.
By the way, I found a new friend, Mark, here. He is one crazy dude. Hey, Mark, come here. Yeah, this guy, you definitely have to just, can you tell us a little bit about your life quick? This is one of the adult volunteers here that Melanie's been talking about.
Yeah, my life, I don't know, like, I guess I...
This is going to be real interesting, I can tell.
Yeah, I don't know, I had a good life, I thought. I really do. I grew up in a church-organized home, you know, and then an old God entered my life. That's what that perspective is. I started coming here. This is actually my second night volunteering. I've been coming here for the last 2 or 3 years as a person, and I just turned 21.
Well, I was going to say, because you sure seem comfortable here.
I am. This is like the last 2 years I've pretty much run this place underground, undercover. That's me.
Would you agree with that, Melanie?
He has some pull in this place. But yeah, Mark's been a participant at Crossfire up until the last couple weeks, and he transitioned into a volunteer when he aged out of our programming and became the age of our volunteers, which is 21. We asked that our volunteers are 21. So.
Okay. Well, Mark, I'm going to ask you two difficult questions. One, well, they won't be that difficult, I promise. But the one is going to be this. So have you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, and is he your Lord and Savior?
Yes and yes.
Okay, so see, those were pretty easy. Now, the thing is, though, how did that happen? I don't want to hear all the mystical stuff. I just want to hear, you know, how did Christ come to you? Or how did you come to Christ?
I was brought up in it, so I don't really have any big story. I was brought up into it. I'm having a piece of candy right now. It was really that simple. I was brought up in it. I believed when I was a kid, and I just kept it with me, you know? And I just kept going to church. I seeked God. That's what happened.
Okay, that's awesome. And so, and now you are hoping to get back to the community here?
You know, I'm just going, yeah, I'm going to college right now, but in my meantime, my free time, I just got done doing a broad fundraiser for my church today, and I'm doing this, I'm volunteering here. Just doing whatever God wants me to do, you know, following his direction.
That's awesome. So is it exciting for you to know that somebody like him is actually here to really help?
Yeah, it is. And actually, it's funny because I had been telling Mark over and over again, Mark, you got to be a volunteer when you're old enough. You got to be a volunteer. And for a while, he was like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, I think it just like was a light bulb going off in his head. He's like, came to me, he's like, can I have a volunteer application? Because I think I want to volunteer when I turn 21. So I'm pretty stoked that he's on board.
Well, I think it's really exciting because it shows what's happening here at Crossfire, everybody. It shows that, you know, they're not just having kids have fun. They're coming here and raising up leaders, it sounds like to me, trying to do that. And did you learn stuff here while you were here, Mark, or not really?
I actually learned how to play pool really good. You know, I'm a sharp shooter now. Yeah.
Okay. Did you learn anything about, you know, living for God here at all?
Yeah. There's some things in my life, you know. I'm more focused on them, yeah. I see from other volunteers, you know. They actually put their time involved and makes me, wow, I want to do something.
If you can't tell, Mark has a really great sense of humor, everybody. And he's definitely very outgoing. He's not being very outgoing right now. I want to hear that crazy guy that we heard.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, everybody, I do appreciate these two sitting down with us. Melanie, if there was one thing that you could tell our listeners, anything, it doesn't have to be about this place, it could be about anything. If there's anything that you would want to tell someone, you know, how God's worked in your life, or, you know, just stay away from this, or what's the most important thing in your life, whatever that is, what would that one thing be?
So I have to give you one thing.
Just one.
That I want.
Not 17.
Okay, well.
Like when you sit down with kids, obviously you want to tell them about Jesus, so that doesn't count, okay? When you get to sit down with a kid and you get to be really real with them, let's just pretend right now that you're sitting down with one of them. What would you tell them?
That there's nothing that you could do in your life that would make God love you less. I mean, we are loved unconditionally, regardless of our mistakes. And if, you know, if as people, if as a person, I expect people to love me in spite of my mistakes, as a believer, I need to be willing to do the same for others. And so I need to meet the kids where they're at and understand that they're not going to be perfect, and we might have to meet them at the gates of hell, but we're going to meet them there, and we're going to at least make sure they've been exposed to Christ at some point.
Amen. I appreciate that. All right, Mark, I'm going to pick on you now. And this is serious now.
Yeah.
So what if there was one thing you could tell our listeners as a 21-year-old man now? What for you? What's that one thing?
One question. What is this?
I knew that was going to be. He's going, what is this for?
This is just like a newscast?
No, well, what I do two podcasts a week throughout the whole country. Just so you know, this will be heard by thousands of people, literally. And I do a radio show every Sunday night that's heard by we don't know how many people. But it's, I mean, like, we have people who listen in Spain. It's weird.
Well, I mean, to really go off a tangent, this is how much I really feel that God really loves you. To go off a tangent, something that happened in my life, you know, my best friend, it's really sad. As far off as he is right now, you know, like, I'm dead serious. Like, here's the story real quick. He was my best friend. Like, for 3 years, I knew him. And he ended up, he got drunk one night. He ended up raping my sister. And sometimes, I don't know, I've forgiven him. I just kind of get upset once in a while. But, you know, I just hope I'll see him in heaven. Like, that's my hope.
Amen. Everybody, I hope you realize Mark's being willing to be real with us right now. And I'd ask if you're listening to this, be praying for Mark right now. Just lift him up, encourage him, encourage his sister. And everybody, I just thank you for listening to this podcast. And we thank you for taking time. And we just encourage you to go find more information out at worldviewwarriors.org. And just appreciate you guys. Do not keep silent.
for listening to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.